We continue our learning Le'ilu Nishmas David ben Menachem Munif Shem Nechan Yaakov ben Minchas Eloyo. We are in Masoros Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. We continue with a list of different types of produce, and when that produce has reached the Onas HaMasoros, the time which separating Maser will be effective. It's not the process is not complete. The obligation of separating Maser is not there, but there is going to be a prohibition of eating the food as an achilas keva, as a permanent meal, before I separate Masros, Trumos, or Masros. And if I do so, it will be effective. So says the Mishnah, Hacharuvin, Caribs, that obligation begins Mishayinokdu. Mishayinokdu, when they become spotted. As carrots begin to ripen, so the skin has different black spots on it. Until the whole thing, we know carrots become black, and that's the full maturity. But then we begin, that would be the end of the process. That would then would be an obligation of separating maser. When would separating maser be effective? When would there be a prohibition to eat an achilas keva? When this ripening begins, when the black spots begin. The cholash chorim mishayinoktu says the mission is not only true for carobs, but any other fruit, any other produce that typically turns black when the spots begin is when this onas amasros sets in. Ha'agosim, pears, viharki rustamulin, which are gulnut apples, v'haparishim, which are quinces, v'uzradim, which are hawthorns, mishe yikarachu, when they become bald, kereach. What does it mean they become bald? So these are not dark species here. The lighter colored produce, so they have the coating on top and eventually falls off as the fruit begins to mature. So the skin is like it's bald. So when that last piece of the covering comes off, so that's when that's when it's completely mature. And when the bald spots begin, so that's when it's reached the onas hamasros. V'chol halavanim yishayikarachu. And the Mishnah says the same thing here. All fruit that are white, which means that are not black, that are not like the carobs, they also will have the same halacha as this whole list we gave of the gulnut apples and the quinces and the pears, etc., when they begin to have those bald spots. Hatilson, fenugreek, we've mentioned in the past. Mishe titzameach, when it sprouts, it means that it's capable of sprouting into another crop. It's developed enough that if you put it in the ground, it will germinate. So that's when, how do we figure that out? You have to take some of the seeds of the fenugreek, but this tilson, and put it in water. And if you see that, if you have a seed that's able to submerge itself in the water, you know that if most of it, at least that, then you know it's ripe. And then it's ready to produce another crop. And the Mefarshim point out that this is not just true of fenugreek. We give this as an example. All produce, all the other species on this list, in this Mishnah, in the previous Mishnah, are also, not only do they need the criterion that we mentioned, but they also have to be capable of producing another crop. That's derived from the pasuk. Aser taser es kol tivuas zarecha. Why do we call it zarecha? They're talking about crops. The answer is, your seed means, it teaches us that it's not subject to the din of trumos and masos until it can be used as a seed to grow another crop. And then the Mishnah concludes, hatavua, grain, vahazesim, and olives, mishayachnisu shlish, when they grow a third, so they're considered mature to reach the onas hamasros when they've grown to a third of their full size. This is also derived from a pasuk. It says, v'asas es hatavua, this is the parashas Bahar with respect to Shemitah, v'asas es hatavua l'shlosh hashanim, literally means that, and don't worry about it, in the eighth year, there'll be enough fruit, it'll grow for the sixth, seventh, and eighth year, everything is going to be great. So what's l'shlosh hashanim? So we can take the word l'shlosh and read it as shlish, and v'asas, it will make, could be understood as, and it will be made, lish, that's when once grain is made to that point, and olives also is derived from grain, because that pasuk only says, it only mentions grain, but we learn, we've derived some of the laws of olives from the laws of Dagon from grain as well. Perek Aleph Mishnah, Dalet Uviyarak, now we're talking about vegetables. So says the Mishnah, HaKishuim. We've translated Kishuim in many different ways. Kishuim, are they melons, squash, cucumber, Vahadaluin, other types of gourds, Vavatichim, Also, melons, vahamalafafonim, kirbys, cucumbers, or whatever, hatapuchim, vahesrogim, apples. We're talking about fruit trees, vahesrogim, we know what esrogim are. Chayavim gidolim uktanim. The Mishnah here is coming to teach us that these are types of produce that are subject to the mitzvah, to the obligation of trumas and masos, even in their initial stages of growth. As we mentioned in the first Mishnah in the Masechta, that it starts out as ochel, so this is an example of those types of fruits that are considered edible. The cucumbers, the pumpkins, the kirbys, the melons, and the apples, and the esrogim are edible even as they begin to grow. That's the case. They're subject to the din of maasros, if you want to eat them, right from the very beginning, even when they're small. That's what the Mishnah means. Chayavim gedolim u kitanim. And then comes Rabbi Shimon with a dissenting opinion regarding esrogim. Rabbi Shimon poter esha esrogim bikatnan. Rabbi Shimon says, no, when the esrogim are small, so he says they are pater from asros. He believes that it may be true that that the esrogim are a little bit edible at the earlier stages, but not the extent of these other things, of the cucumbers and the apples, etc. So those become those are a lot more edible at their early stages, and therefore Rabbi Shimon holds that the esrogim are going to be potter. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Achai of bishkedim amorim potter b'mesukim. This is an interesting halacha regarding almonds. So there are certain almonds that grow, and when they mature, they are bitter, but in their earlier stages, they're sweet. So, and then you have other almonds, which in their mature state, when they ripen, they're going to be sweet. That's the way we like to eat them. In their earlier stages, they're bitter. That's something maybe we're more familiar with. So Mishnah says here, interestingly, hachayav bishkedim hamarim, that which is obligated in the case of bitter almonds, patur b'mesukim, so is exempt in the case of sweet almonds. And hachayev b'mesukim, and that which is obligated in the case of sweet almonds is patur b'marim, is exempt in the case of bitter ones. Which means that exactly what we said, at bitter almonds that are usually eaten when they're small and then unripe. So their chiyuv, their onas hamasos, is at an earlier time. As opposed to the sweet almonds, you wouldn't eat them at their earlier stage, and they would not be edible, and therefore they wouldn't have reached their onas hamasos. You're not chayv sepet trumas masos. Only at the later stage, the sweet almonds, when they actually become sweet, are they going to be chayv in trumas and masos.